Hey, you're back listening to Lulu's Son, the Chronicles of... Fuck. I already messed up
the intro. The Chronicles of Fuck.
The Chronicles of Subway. A Mad Asian. We're going to keep that in. All right. We got Meatball and Harry.
Hey.
Hello, friends.
Today, we're going to talk about financial responsibility.
I'm not going to lie, listeners. I'm a little nervous for this conversation.
You don't need to be nervous.
I'm financially irresponsible. No. I am very financially responsible, but the two of you are like, I feel like if I'm going into the octagon in a financial battle, I'm taking the two of you with me.
Okay, we'll see what you have to say.
Y'all are hardcore on your finances.
Are we? Are we though?
I don't know if I am. I know that Lulu's been ready for me to talk about this for a while, yes, so I felt the need to over-prepare.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I took over data daddy statistics, so we're going to see what's going to happen with this conversation.
I might be a small voice in this conversation.
you're data kitty.
Yeah. Meow, meow.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to say that, you know, as we've gotten older and learned and progressed about life just in general, I am amazed at how many people still don't know how to budget.
Oh, it's terrible. It really is terrible.
There are three of us in this room by show of hands. Does anyone actually keep a budget?
I have a budget.
I do. I have a high-level spreadsheet.
I don't keep a budget.
I have a budget, but it's really more of just something I check in on periodically because I tend to save.
So does that mean you're using like a provider who's doing this all
the
time?
No, there's no provider.
No, I am the provider.
Okay.
No, it's really just for me to get a sense of, on a monthly basis, what my expendable income is. And then I can kind of keep tabs on it. So whenever we have a change of circumstances, pay raise or, you know, whatever.
I totally do that.
Reset. And then just make sure that I have an idea of where we need to be financially.
My husband rolls his eyes every time I say the budget has been reset.
Well, it was funny. Agent Jay and I had this conversation years ago. He was in a job at that time where he was getting paid weekly. And we had a comparison of our budgets, of the way that we were both budgeting to, you know, make our contributions to the household. He pulled up his spreadsheet. It blew my mind. I'm very much simplistic in the way that I approach our finances and spending. And he's not. He's much more in depth.
So, okay, you totally put us in a perfect segue of one of my bullet points. Dave Ramsey always says, and I'm a big supporter of him, supports our money versus my money. And we kind of talked about this a little bit in season 2, episode 6, Breadwinners, right? Where you kind of, y'all do 50-50. And it's not truly 50-50 in my relationship. I would probably say it depends on the circumstance of what I pay for. But my point is that, maybe it's not 50-50.
Well, you know, I don't know if...
It's my money, I guess, is what my point is, right?
Sure.
So I don't want it to be 50-50.
Well, it's yours. You earned it. You should have a pretty good say of how it's spent.
So, yeah, is it? If something's $100, do I pay 50-50?
Well, I think, but there has to be a level setting to some degree. And to me, we're quote unquote 50-50 for the essentials, but it's really not. It's weighted based on income.
That's right.
You know, and I am the primary breadwinner at this point. So I pay the bulk of things.
Yeah.
But I do expect the equal contribution from a weighted standpoint. But I think there's a lot to that from a relationship standpoint of the message that you're sending and communicating by saying it is my money or implying it is my money versus it is our money.
Yes. Okay. So I took Data Daddy's role in this podcast.
Okay.
And I have some stats here.
Oh, lay it on us.
Hit me.
So average U.S. income is $60,000 a year.
Household? Individual?
Household.
Household? No, that's got to be individual.
Average savings is $6,000.
As of when?
2023.
Man.
That's sad. How do you live off of that?
That's sad. And it's, I think about living in that state, think about how much anxiety you would have
every day,
all the time.
I have anxiety with what I make now.
Well, and, I mean, seriously, you think about if you have $6,000 in savings as a family.
Yeah.
What happens That's if stressful. The car breaks down?
That's
or
right.
Or if you get in an accident and it's your fault.
That's
or,
right.
You know.
I was thinking we'd kind of warm up to this because you and I have some similar statistics. Yeah.
You and Lulu?
That's correct. Thank you, Spicy.
Fuck Spicy.
I think that kind of goes along with like, what's your lifestyle and are you living within or above your means? And is that why you don't have a lot of savings?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't know. Let's focus on Lulu.
Okay.
Like the finance has always been a big topic for you.
Yeah.
So when did you start your financial responsibility journey? Was it something that started when you were a kid?
No. So my parents always taught me this, but I didn't always exercise it, right? Because I didn't understand the importance of it until I was actually pushed out into the real life. So it was probably my early 20s when my parents finally cut me off. And I was like, Dad, I need some money. Well, I gave you some money. You spent it. I'm like, but did I? And then finally, you know, as I got, you know, more into my career and it's like, oh my gosh, I finally understand the value of a dollar and what I can buy. But still, Dad, can I have more money?
Because I know the value of all the dollars I have and I know what I want to be doing.
Yeah. So it started. And, you know, when I first met my current husband, as I talk about on the podcast a lot.
Your current husband.
That is non-official.
Well, as opposed to your previous husband, like you had one.
Oh, that's right. I never did. And
the same guy. He was just referred to differently.
That's right. In different stages of my life. So, yeah, I mean, you know, he was in a certain stage of his life. I was in a certain stage of my life. And then when we had split up, I've shared this openly on the podcast. We split up 2 times. And the second time we split up, you know, I had owned my own condo and I was just like, this is a lot to take care of. So I need to cut back on my spending, get my shit together and save for the future. And I don't know what that trigger was, but it just happened and I was full force Jewisha.
I mean, focusing on the future implies not just being okay right now, but that you're really going about it to set yourself up. Spicy, what about you? Did you start this, you know, Lulu said young 20s?
You know, it's interesting listening to this because my story is very different.
I love it.
My family didn't have a lot when we were growing up, and I worked as soon as I could, right? So from the time I was 14, I had jobs and was, you know, working multiple jobs. And I don't know. I don't ever really remember there being a time where I went to my parents and said, I need money, except for when I was in college and they paid my rent. Because I took care of my own schooling and things like that. So they covered my rent.
Oh, nice.
And okay. I don't remember there being a time where I had that realization of like, oh, yeah. Because it was just, the only thing I remember is I remember at one point, there was a time where I had bought my first truck. And it was when I went to college, my undergrad, the car that I had. Of course, inevitably shit the bed when I was on my way to school. So I had to buy a new vehicle and it was on me. There was no other option. So I went to the dealership and I bought this little rinky tink truck, $10,000, got the payments down to $93 a month.
That's awesome though.
Isn't that hilarious? Isn't that hilarious? Because I told them I wouldn't buy it unless we could get my payments under $100 a month. And so I had this car payment. And so I remember going home during the summers and working and having that car payment that I had to make every month. And I remember being at my mom's house at one point and having, because this is back in the days of paper checks, having this epiphany and, oh my God, my paycheck is sitting in the glove box in my vehicle. I haven't put it into my bank account and that payment's going to be drafted.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I learned those habits from a young age, and I think now at this point, I've changed the way I'm thinking about financial responsibility, and because I've always been like save, you know? And now I'm like, at what point financially responsibly should I be spending?
You know, you bring up a good point, because I've realized just in the last few years of my life that it's like, do I need to continuously just penny pinch and be frugal, right? We've had these podcast episodes before, frugal versus cheap. Mm-hmm. What's the happiness level of enjoying your life to where, but you're not overspending, but you're happy.
Right. Yeah. And especially if you don't have kids.
That's right.
Right. Or you have grown kids.
Yeah. I mean, I guess your bar would be knowing what sort of funds you need to have to be put in the home and the good home, right. Not the ones where
I want to be in assisted living.
You know what your expected costs are kind of going to be. That's nice. But what I got from that is that neither of your parents ever like sat you down and said, okay, so just because you have this doesn't mean there's this much.
Well, I never had that back then, because I always like went against what they told me just to be rebellious. That's right.
Rebel child.
And it wasn't until whatever that certain moment, I have no fucking idea. But
I don't know. I think that for me, it was from a very early age, it was, you want that? Well, then you better save the money for it.
Yes.
So it was really self-taught. It was, I don't know. And I don't want it to make it sound like that. Like I never got anything, right? Like I had what I needed, but if I wanted things.
Right.
Then, sure.
Yeah. I had to go.
That's pretty similar to my story. My parents divorced when I was young. So I was raised by a single teacher, and they're not known for making a killing.
Rolling in the dough.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I've had a job since I was 13. And
what was your first job? Can I cut you off?
Sure. Yeah. My first job was a summer job. It was a camp counselor at a country club.
Your first job? I never knew that about you.
Wow. Uh-huh.
I got $100 for 4 weeks worth of 7 hours a day, 5 days a week. So the country club wasn't exactly paying minimum wage, but they were just, you know, handing out some cash for experience or whatever.
Man, that felt good. Enough of it.
Oh, we got. I remember I got paid, and it was 4th of July because that's when the camp ended. And I just went out and said, I can get any firework I want. It was the hands down coolest thing. It's like your first paycheck, even if it's looking back, it's way smaller than what you want, right? But
that's what she said.
Yeah, like. I had a similar situation where I wasn't going to ask my mom for fun money or anything like that. So like, I took a job when I was 15 at a Baskin Robbins.
Oh, yeah. Okay. My husband loves ice cream.
I got paid 20 cents less an hour than minimum wage because I wasn't 16.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was today's labor not laws the best are decision
oh,
I've
child
made.
Labor?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
But I knew that, like, if I wanted lunch money or just fun money with friends, it was going to be because I brought it in.
Okay, so now I'm dying to know. Lulu, what was your first job?
Oh, my gosh. I knew you were going to ask that. It was working at Old Navy.
I bet you folded clothes like nobody's business.
I did. It drove me nuts when people would come in on weekends and just throw all the shit there, and then I had to organize it by size again.
I always felt so bad for those people. Still do.
That was me. Shopping. It was temporary.
And why do people need to unfold 5 of the same exact shirt?
Well, you know what? In their defense, when I hate shopping, but if I happen to walk into a store, I actually like to unfold it and put it against my body and see like, okay, what does this look like on me? In the mirror.
I got that.
The public mirror.
So my first job was lacing shoes.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that was a thing.
There are people who do that. I literally worked at a shoe store and I would unpack shoes as they came in from the company, and then somebody has to lace them. So that when people come in to try them on, they're already laced. Mm-hmm. That was my first job.
So the Chinese kids were old enough to sew the shoes, just not lace them up?
Barely. Child labor.
It doesn't feel process. Like a lot of extra money added on to that labor.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to financial responsibility.
It's also interrelated.
It is interrelated, but I do have one comment, right? So I did some research only because somebody had made a comment to me about, oh, well, this person's spouse makes good money. And knowing their lifestyle, I asked the question point blank. So what is the definition of good money to you? And this person could not answer what that was. So I started Googling, and apparently on Data Daddy's analytics here, the definition of good money is $100K for a family of three. But then it's contradictory because the IRS says $500K.
Oh, Jesus.
A year.
That's crazy.
For a family of three.
Well.
So suburbia versus.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
City.
That's crazy. $500,000 for a family of three. Good. I mean.
Living comfortably. I can see that happening on $500K.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But yeah. I could also see that happening on $200K.
Yeah.
I think that definition is always going to be changing.
Yeah, you're
right. Because I don't know if you've experienced the same. Like, I've had multiple jobs or different careers, and the numbers have been pretty drastically different in each one. And I don't think I've ever felt like, oh, I've made it. I'm good. You know, despite having
really
hit like high after high. And let me not try and sound braggadocious. That's not what I'm trying to do. I just want to. I don't know if I have like a solid number where I would be content.
I question whether you would ever be content.
Yeah, no, exactly. Would you be?
Knowing me or the
knowing you?
In
knowing
okay,
you.
Fair enough.
And honestly, I have had that moment. And that was really when I re-entered the job force after running my own business. That was the number in my head because I had been there before. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is a place of comfort for me. I'm happy to say came in above that.
Sure.
But I think, you know, and of course we have to acknowledge also that this depends on where you are.
That's right.
Right? Like
yeah,
500,000 in New York City is a lot different than 500,000 in Oklahoma City.
I understand that money spends differently depending on where you are, but I feel that the feelings behind that don't change just because you have more or you're in a cheaper place of living. It's just like you get a better job and suddenly your cost of living goes up because you are open
to
new
income.
Things or suddenly things that weren't achievable before are, and they feel really nice.
And you grow to your income, right?
Sure.
And like, if you don't have good financial practices at 40,000, you're not going to have them.
That's
at
right.
400,000.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about that because, right, like the three of us, we are financially comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
There's no doubt about that. But when you talk to people, friends, whatever's in your social circle, and they're making less and making bad financial decisions, do you actually voice your opinion to them and be like, dude, get your shit together?
Depends on the relationship for me. Generally speaking, I'll ask some questions, but it's a delicate balance, right? I don't know. I think to me, it's if I feel like they are willing to hear me out
mm-hmm.
and I can handle it in a tactful manner, then I will. And sometimes like with my stepdaughter, I always voice it, right?
Sure. Right.
But other people, I'm like, man, you're not going to hear me if I say anything anyway. So
that's fair. I mean, sometimes yeah. people are just talking and don't realize it's a problem or something they should take action on as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. And that's an issue too, right? That they don't feel like it's an issue.
It's always hard to talk about money. I think it depends on the friendship for me. Because, you know, people, I have very different interests than some of my closest friends.
Right.
You know, things I spend money on, they would probably never touch and mm-hmm. vice versa.
Yeah, just like my gardening.
So if someone's not going to, you know, make it, or if someone's going to make a decision that's going to seriously impede their ability to survive, then sure, you stand up and say something. Otherwise, you know, irresponsibility is not new.
Mm-hmm. But you know, thinking about all of this, I think the thing that gets under my skin the most is when people approach it as if they're a victim.
Yes.
That really bothers me.
Yes.
Because I sit here and I look at people who, and let's be clear, there are a lot of people out there in very challenging situations, but there are also a lot of people out there who have put themselves in situations.
Right. That's right.
Where they're making like, oh, I have to live in an apartment complex
yeah.
here because it's a cool area.
That's right.
Well, guess what? It's more expensive.
That's
You're
right.
You're making these choices.
That's right.
And then you turn around and say, I can't afford to buy a house. Well, yeah, dumbass. That's
yeah.
because you're paying an arm and a leg for rent when you don't need to be.
I see this sure. all the time, yeah. every day.
It's not everyone's getting a car payment for $93 a month. Oh, you know, I actually ran some numbers on a car payment last night because, well, you know, there are some large purchases that everyone makes.
Okay, ideally, come on, bring it.
Right, your home is going to be your biggest one. Your car is another. My car, I didn't even remember what year it was. I had to look at my insurance. My car is 2015, and I've had it since 2017. So, like, I don't buy new cars because I don't care to just burn money when I drive off a parking lot. But you can get a certified vehicle that comes with a warranty and is low mileage for half of what it would have cost two years ago. So I was playing around with, like, finance calculators and AI of, like, hey, here are a few different stories. Like, I have this car. My wife is in one that's X years old. I think the situation was 4 years old and requires zero outside of standard upkeep. Should I buy? Should I rent? Should I go into debt? What sort of insurance should I or interest am I okay with? Because I don't have debt. I'm in $0 of debt, which sounds good, but it's probably financially irresponsible because you're supposed to be leveraging debt to accomplish more. For me, I love knowing that if the worst thing in my life happens, I'm going to be fine.
I have no debt. The only debt that I have is the house. Mm-hmm. But when I researched the area and then decided to move into this neighborhood, I cleared out my entire savings account. That was the scariest thing that I've ever done in my life. Mm-hmm. And put that down payment on. So going back to finances, my monthly mortgage rate is lower than it typically would be just because of that preemptive.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, make a large payment and save yourself down the line. Right. That makes a lot of sense.
Well, in our situation, it was crazy. We bought our current place at the beginning of the pandemic and we got a crazy low interest rate.
Oh yeah.
And it went, and we sold, so we bought our new place before we sold our old place, and it went against everything I stood for not to take the proceeds mm-hmm. of that and dump it into the new mortgage. Mm-hmm. But I was like, we would be fools at 2% interest on the mortgage to take that money and drop it into the mortgage. So we didn't.
I wish I'd had just a couple more years of maturity 4 years ago.
Stick with me, grasshopper.
Okay.
But, I was building to like, instead of having the latest and greatest car, you can look at Bill Gates, who was driving around in like a Toyota Camry until 2010.
Right.
You know, Warren Buffett, I think, doesn't have a great car. So people tend to spend when they don't need to, because at the base level, you're just buying transportation.
And questioning, what is motivating you to buy that car? Like, I'm the same way. I drive a 2011 Nissan, mm-hmm. right? Could I afford to get into a new car? Absolutely. But why would I when this thing, I'm going to drive this thing into the ground. Okay, let's be clear.
I don't know why I bought my car, to be honest. Part of it was because I have so many picky things, and this one just shaped me. It is a newer model. I'm not going to reveal what model it is because you guys are going to attack me.
Is it a Cybertruck?
No.
Because I'll full on walk out right now.
Panelists know what it is. But bottom line is I did pay cash for it. I'm not going to lie about that. Yeah.
Why are you shaming yourself for that though?
Well, you know, partially because people shame me for it. Am I shaming myself for it? No, I think that's awesome that I can pay cash for a car.
Well, and I'm sorry, but sometimes you need a new car.
Yeah.
Like, that's okay.
My other car was, it had many things going on. It was getting old. It was over 10 years old. And when it finally decided to have its period all over the bottom of my garage, I was like, this is the time to get a new car, you know?
Instantly, I know exactly which fluid it was leaking to. Right.
But yeah, I mean, you know, and part of this podcast is because when you are financially stable, people shame you for being financially stable as well.
So
that's so interesting to me. Do you feel that, Harry?
Like I said, I think Lulu was probably phrasing that to come from where I was earlier and not sound like braggadocious. It's a good way to be humble. Apologizing for having things. I don't think any of us in here are the richest person in the city or anything like that.
Right.
But we're doing just fine. What I loved about this subject is that it made me really think, if it's not a number, what is it that I really want to have, like, financially? And it's to not have a worry.
Yeah.
You know, like, there are plenty of things that could happen in my life that would cause a problem. But let me run you through the last 3 days. I unexpectedly won a lottery.
Oh!
No, not. This lottery.
Oh, we're going to the club tonight.
This lottery cost me money. I won a lottery to get 2 Taylor Swift tickets.
Taylor Swift.
Which, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome. The tickets, yeah. I don't really care about the cost because, as a surprise, I was looking at side tangent. I was looking at floor seats that were going for between $4,000 and $5,000 a pop.
That's crazy
to see this woman.
Even so
years
much.
Ago, I wouldn't crazy. Let myself spend $50 on tickets to see the Pixies, who I loved.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, right. things have come across, and I'm far from comfortable with that. But you know what? You only live once, right? So anyway, I didn't pay that for these tickets. These were retail value. But those concert tickets also require a flight because mm-hmm. the concert's in Miami. Yep. Miami requires, oh, you know, not requires, but I'm going to be there for 3 nights, 4 nights.
Miami.
And what, I'm supposed to eat fucking Chipotle? I don't think so. So now I'm looking at restaurants. Whatever. No worries. I had an extra $3,200 on my floor bill that popped up. I feel like there was something else.
Wait, floor bill? What?
Oh, I replaced the floor after hiring the wrong contractor.
Okay.
But there were some additional leveling costs and stuff like that.
Personal home. Yeah, he kind of like.
Yeah, this is just like unexpected charges that I've had the last few days. But none of those were like, oh my God, what am I going to have to sell? Or how many times am I going to have to jerk off into a cup so I can afford to do this?
And that's all I'm saying. I just want to know.
The numbers, would I. What
are you going to participate in the societies like Harry Reid's? Yeah, Spank Bank.
You know,
did you watch that Netflix series?
The documentary sure didn't.
About that person who had so many sperm
God,
and babies and stuff.
Is it
Nick Cannon?
No, it's not Nick Cannon. Please do not abuse his name. We apologize. Go ahead, Harry.
We apologize. Anyway, I've had thoughts about, like, you know, not having kids. Maybe I should just go and, like, anonymously donate and be surprised 20 years down the line when someone finds me.
No.
I
fear that. And, you know, my husband wasn't in a spank bank, but I still fear that today with how promiscuous he was probably in his younger years and someone's going to be banging on my door.
Anything could happen. Good news for you. You're a team.
No, we're not a team in that aspect.
But I was bringing that up because it's really nice. And I define financial success as being able to weather something. Some of the numbers that I was looking at are kind of hard to believe. And Lulu, you saw this too. Looking at, like, retirement savings.
This stresses me out. Retirement stresses me out.
I mean, per Investopedia, what the fuck have boomers been doing that they don't have more money in a 401k? Or they probably have full pensions, pardon me.
And you know what?
We recently
talked about, like, the company is giving you free money. And people
in your 401k?
People still don't get it.
Automatic
match. I know, but you have to be educated enough to understand what that means.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, so that's another thing. You know, there's always been a conversation about high school should be teaching you more about taxes and more about retirement accounts
budgeting,
than Calculus 3. Yeah. That would be extremely beneficial.
Home ec.
I still miss that. Home ec.
Oh, I never took home ec. Fuck home ec.
It applies to financial responsibility, so you can provide for a family of 12 on $8 a week. Right. It's a lot of
eating
pasta.
Beans and yeah, rice, pasta, whatever, whatever.
Red beans and rice.
Yeah.
I did miss a little.
What is the largest amount of money that you consider negligible? I'm not going to, if it's under this amount and it's interesting, I'm going to buy it.
It depends on the situation and what I'm purchasing.
I very much agree, but keep going.
Okay. So you guys know me very well, and there's a very expensive vacation coming up. That is something that I will never experience again, but I have saved like a mofo to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, again, that'll never happen again, but it's been on my bucket list since I was in high school.
So you are going to have a trip that you're looking forward to and not worry so much about sticking budget to the dollar.
That's
you want
right.
it to oh, be are whatever.
You, but let me ask you this. When you get to said location, uh-huh. are you going to live in that moment?
Yes,
in
I am. Are you? Because I have saved that much money to do so.
But within that set amount.
That's right. Okay. That's right. Within that set amount.
So
look, I love this question because honestly, I don't have that amount. But one of my other friends, I don't know, like maybe a year or two ago, she made the comment. She said, I mean, if it's under $20, I don't even think about it. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, like, she's like, that's... if I see something on Amazon and it's under $20, I just buy it. And I was like, that's so funny. I never think about things that way. Do you think about that?
I don't because it matters, right? Yeah. Because that $20 adds up and it's like...
But I think that's so.
So that was my exact point. And right. and when I asked Miss Reed this question, she said $20. And if I were drinking something, I'd have spit right out in her face because this woman does not treat $20 like it doesn't matter.
Oh my God.
$20 adds up.
Lulu, I meant this more in the sense of like when you're shopping and you have to wait in line wrapped around and there's all the shit by the register
like the
that no one needs
store?
But is always cheap and looks cool.
Okay.
Like for me, I think my value is like $5. Oh. If it's under $5, I really don't care. But if 20 is like a good starting point, but then you think that adds up really fast.
It does. $20 adds up.
Yeah, and
very
I'm not just looking to like buy to shop, you know? Or I don't know. That would be like a low impulse buy. I probably
I don't do
have
impulse
like
buys.
If wine is under X dollars, I'll try it out and okay. not give a damn.
Y'all are making me think really hard right now.
I lie. I do impulse buys if it depends. Like,
if
you know, there's
really
one time
purchase.
A month where there are some things where I need more salt. Yeah, I'll buy a fucking bag of potato chips, but that's not $20.
Yeah.
You know?
Like that-
Wow. I don't have a hard and fast rule like that. When my friend told me that, I literally kind of stopped in my tracks and was like, huh. I don't have that line in the sand. Like, to me, everything that comes up, I'm like,
I wouldn't say it's a hard and fast rule, but it's an interesting little mental challenge.
Yeah.
Of like, wait, what are you okay just spending and never thinking about again?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because everyone has a number, whether you realize it or not.
I think to me, it's more of like, how much do I really need this thing?
Yes. And I do think about those things too.
Yeah. And then what's the best value I can get within that? Like, I need a new hair dryer.
Yes.
Because my hair dryer broke. So
yes.
I need a new hair dryer.
Quality versus quantity.
What's the best quality for the lowest price that I can get?
That's right.
So
I like that.
Reading Amazon reviews has become like sport.
Right. Yeah.
I've done way too much research for buying like a toaster. and it's...
Yep.
It becomes a thing.
By reviews.
My husband wants a toaster. I won't give him one. It's like, why? It's just another thing that's in the fucking
really
counter. Declutter. Decluttering.
No, we put our toaster in the cabinet when you're not using
it. No, dude. Actually, if
get
you
an
see
air fryer,
our
convection oven,
full.
Toaster, hybrid.
Put the shit in the fucking oven.
Put that bitch on broil.
That's right. Okay, so before we close out this podcast, I have to ask, okay, because we talked about data before. But do you think $100K a month is
sounds
that's
great?
That would work.
Yeah, that's good.
Annually,
solid
I apologize. Annually is comfortable enough to be comfortable for the lives that you live in today?
Well, no.
You don't even have kids, so that's different. Yeah.
Well, and I think no, because of the lives we live, right? But I think there are ways to live comfortably. Within $100,000, you just have to do things like drive further when you're going to work.
Living
or,
in the suburbs.
Yeah. Or don't go and eat out. Don't drink the way I drink, you know?
Stop buying.
Like $100,000 a year.
Well,
right
no.
There.
Continue to buy vodka.
I mean, like, there's no mistake that $100,000 a year doesn't go as far as it did relatively recently.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so... I think Spicy said it best where you can definitely make it work. I think it would be fine for me. But again, I don't budget. And this might surprise you. I don't know how much money I have. I don't really know how much money
what?
I worth. I probably
the
know.
Fuck?
I know
I
to within
shocked.
Like, depending
it
on the market.
It goes back to the spreadsheet.
Wait,
I have
that
a spreadsheet.
Because of your investments and their fluctuating values, though?
Yeah, most of mine
well,
is in
different.
Either I have a day trading account. I have two IRAs, two 401ks. So there's a lot of shit that I need to like come bring in together. But I can't. I talked to a financial advisor, and I really just don't think it's for me. I like having that control, and I don't need someone who I don't know or don't trust to be in charge of my future. I can always kick my own ass for my decisions.
See, I have a hard time
kicking my own ass for letting someone else fuck me.
I need someone else to fuck me.
Podcast quote of the day.
Yes. Okay, so here's my big question.
Am I the only one who doesn't know like net worth? This is foreign to you guys? I know my net worth.
I mean, net worth.
I mean, I have investments that fluctuate, but within a reasonable,
right?
Yeah.
Margin.
I'm not talking about like, can I afford to go out to eat?
Yeah. That's a whole different story. But okay. Like net worth perspective, I could tell you within a reasonable margin.
Okay.
But here's my big question at the end of the day. And Lulu, we've talked about this a little bit before, but like, when is enough enough? When is it? What's that figure? What's that number? How do you know when you get there? And can you stop when you get there?
I don't know if I can ever get there because I just feel like I keep spending money on home improvements or house fixes and things like that.
But ideally, that's putting money back into your pocket, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, what would the alternative be? You don't spend the money. House falls into disarray. And then you take it in the ass when you go and try and sell the place.
I mean, my husband and I have talked about this. Do we really need to live in this house?
Where else would you live?
No.
Maybe an apartment because we don't have to pay property taxes.
Fuck no.
We don't have to pay insurance. Can we buy a tiny house and invest it and turn it into a rental property? Okay. Like all these different conversations.
I just feel like for people who are financially stable, not owning a home is nonsensical.
Well,
because you're just throwing away your money versus building equity.
Let's go the other way, though. People who don't have this, you know, financial luxury.
That's a different story.
Yeah.
Right? You've got to get to a certain point. But if you're a first-time home buyer, there are a lot of programs out there that can help you if you can squirrel away some nuts.
Yeah. Very true.
I don't know.
It's hard, folks. It is hard to save and realign, especially when you're in situations that are not agreeable to what you thought your life was going to be.
And I think that's a really important point for anybody listening, because the three of us have worked really hard for a lot of years
totally
to get where we are.
Lives. Yes.
Because we're all in good financial states right now, but we haven't all been there the whole time. So it's taken a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of commitment, dedication, sacrifice.
That's right. I've dedicated our air conditioning like to this, you know, years ago. Like there's so many things that we sacrificed to get here.
So.
All right. Closing thoughts, Harry.
I don't know if there's ever a number that is enough.
I just don't know if I can imagine.
I think that's part of the areas I need to grow. Because I'll tell you, thinking about this subject, I don't know when I'll be able to retire. I don't think it's as far off as it should be age-wise. Like, you know, according to when I should. Not having the mass expense of a child. And, you know, again, having worked my whole life and having invested, I think I could probably do it a lot sooner if I just put the damn time into looking at these numbers. I don't know. Also, if this podcast airs and I somehow die before my 401k is eligible for me to get any of it, what was this all for?
Yeah, you're right.
So
your 401k is eligible for you to get any time.
Okay, yes. Without taking the penalty.
Yes, yes.
But it's but really going to suck when I'm like,
don't take out of your 401k.
Yes, don't.
I was actually
going to
bring
it,
that up because in 2022, the U.S. passed a law that you can now take out a whopping $1,000 from your 401k penalty free once
point?
Every three. It, well, thank you.
Yeah, what's
because,
the
like,
point?
What is the point of that? And then I feel like an ass because there are some people that desperately need
that to take care
of an emergency.
Yeah.
And I just don't, I can't understand that.
Yeah.
But everybody's at different places
in
their lives.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then I guess keep working on good progress.
Save your money, people.
And that every $20 really does make
it. It really does. It really does.
Yeah. If you do get to a point where you want to gamble at all, choose roulette, not blackjack.
Oh, gosh, don't gamble it.
Not financial advice.
Okay, until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.